KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 277, recorded February 17th. 2018, I am your host, Drawn Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Dawn.
Everybody.
And Jim Black.
Hello.
We've got a couple people that would normally be on the show tonight out, and they are at Toy Fair 2018 in New York. Rick is there, as well as Sergio. From the sounds of things, they're having a great time there, seeing lots of great things. I posted a video earlier today to the tftalk.net website. Rick shared it to me, and it's low-res video, but it's a video clip of the Flame Toys display there at Toy Fair, and some really cool stuff that's in there. We'll probably be talking a little bit about more about Toy Fair and reveals later on in this episode. But tonight, our main focus is something that Jim Black brought up.
It's all my fault.
Yeah, it's all his fault. We can blame Jim. It's a topic that he brought up about a week or two ago in a private group, and he suggested that we talk about something that. Really, you notice it, but you don't. It's things that once were identifiable with the franchise, or things that you would think that were part of the brand that have either now faded into obscurity or have disappeared altogether. A good example of that is rub signs. You know, whenever Generation 1 came out, virtually every Transformer had them. There were some pre-rub sign versions, but it became something that was on every Transformer. It went away late in Generation 1 and then came back with the reveal of the shield. I believe there were some Beast Wars figures that had some rub signs as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that was pre-Spark Crystal.
Yeah. And then it came back then, and then it went away, and then came back with the reveal of the shield. And now it's went away again. But one time, there was a point in time whenever we thought that, you know, rub signs were, you know, just part of the brand. Another good example, in my opinion, is Tech Specs. You know, the full-on bios with the cool card art, and then a graphical representation of the abilities of the character. Now we're lucky if we get a one sentence blurb on the back of the card.
Yeah, it's literally a one sentence blurb for a lot of the movie, for most of the, if not all the movie figures.
Yeah. Well, I know the Power of the Primes, it's literally one sentence, and sometimes it doesn't hardly say anything about the character, really, that is interesting. I know I picked up, Swoop the other day. From the Power of the Primes, and his bio, quote unquote, on the back was just totally uninteresting. I'm like,
how
why
will
even bother?
Swoop utilize the Power of the Primes?
Yes. Okay. That tells me nothing about the character. you know, and it's one time very identifiable with the Transformers brand. Every character had a bio. If I'm not mistaken, didn't the Omnibots come with tech specs that was in their instruction booklet or something?
I believe
no,
so.
They did not.
No, they did,
okay.
They did not. No, they had the G1 style fold-out book in black and white with the red highlights on the parts that were moving, but there were no bios. Hey, cause, and this is showing my age here. I was on a early Transformers mush. Multi-user shared hallucination is one term for it. And I was actually playing Downshift, and I made him. I had to make up my own backstory for him, and he was basically a time traveling, universe hopping temporal agent, hunting down a evil time traveler from his universe because there was no bio for him. So I just made up one.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of Generation 1 characters, we got our view of the character, and at least I did. I got a lot of the view of the character from the tech spec bio. Weird Wolf, my favorite character, obviously. You know, outside of a few seconds of screen time in the Rebirth and the Japanese Headmaster series, and some appearance in the comics, he doesn't have a whole lot of characterization. Most of the time, or most of the characterization that you associate with Weird Wolf, you obtain from his tech spec bio. And we've mentioned many, many times on this show how many Transformers just deserved a bio that we just didn't get. You know, I mean, there's lots of generations and lots of newer figures and newer characters that we just had no bio for. And it's a lost art. So, you know, before we go too much farther into it, Jim, since this is your topic, I'm going to put you on the spot and tell us what your thoughts are in regards to this topic.
Well, first, let me start by saying welcome to TTFYLP, the Transformers for your listening pleasure. Because one thing that has disappeared that was there in the brand's inception was the word "the." It used to be the Transformers or the Transformers Generation 2. But anymore, it's just Transformers. So that was one thing. It wasn't really a major staple of the brand, as say, you know, the rub signs, but it was still something substantial, and in fact, it was part of the title of the brand.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now that could have been from the earlier days of getting the brand out there to make it seem like it was sort of parallel to Ghostbusters versus the real Ghostbusters. Is what, because Filmation had Ghostbusters, and when they want to do a cartoon based on the movie, they used the real Ghostbusters as a differentiation to tell the two apart. I think what Hasbro was doing was calling it the Transformers, meaning this is the definitive article. This is the real thing, not one of the KOs or not one of the knockoff companies or not one of our competitors. But
it's
over
not
time.
Third party.
Well, the third party didn't exist then, but there was GoBots, obviously, and there was Converters and
GoBots was pretty much the number one competitor at the day.
But you had Converters, you had Zybots, and everything else. So they used the as this is the definitive robot toy transforming line, but as the brand became more established, it became like Kleenex. You know, like it became synonymous with Transformers. You didn't really need the anymore.
It's technically like Band-Aids. You know, we know them as Band-Aids, but it's actually a Band-Aid brand. You know, you can have, there's generic Band-Aids. You can go to Kroger and get Band-Aids or Kroger brand Band-Aids, but they're not Band-Aid brand, you know.
Adhesive bandages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So whenever you pick up Band-Aid brand things, it's, you know, you tell people you got Band-Aids and they know what you're talking about. But, you know, if you want to be specific, I picked up Band-Aid brand Band-Aids. Right. Another thing that comes to mind whenever you mention along those lines, Jim, is a tagline. Mm-hmm. More than meets the eye. When was the last time you saw that on a Transformers package? That wasn't, you know, like a reissue or something.
That's a good point. It had to have been...
It's been a while.
Honestly, with Generation 2? I mean, surely it's been on there since then, but I can't... It doesn't jump out at me.
Well, they had the modified tagline more, much more than meets the eye during the Masters lines, you know, like Masters, Target Masters and all that, which, you know, I thought was a neat little evolution of that tagline. But after Generation 1, it really pretty much disappeared. It might've been around in Generation 2, maybe early Generation 2. But I don't think Beast Wars had it anymore. No.
You're right.
I was just glancing back at my entertainment center up here where I have like my Masterpiece Grimlock in that. Mm-hmm. And on there I have Devastator, the Combiner Wars Leader Class Armada Megatron, Jetfire, Power of the Primes or Automus. I'm not seeing it on any of those. Follow Cybertron Blaster. I mean, nothing. So yeah, I think that's another one we can safely include.
Yeah, so the tagline that once identified the brand, you know, Transformers more than meets the eye, they're not around. It's not around. It's not found anymore.
To expand on that exact thing, too, you know, more than meets the eye, that also harkens back to the original Ann Bryant theme song from Generation 1. I mean, it was the whole Part of the theme song is like, you know, Transformers more than meets the eye, Transformers robots in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Autobots did whatever they did to do whatever they did back then. But you all know how it goes, you know.
We've heard it once or twice.
In our generation, we can sing it verbatim, you know, from memory.
Except stumbled through it and obviously proved that you couldn't remember the words.
I just failed miserably, so I just ran with it. But the most recent usage that I felt was actually a full harnessing of that old song was probably Transformers Animated. The more recent incarnation of Robots in Disguise touched on it a little, but that version of the song in Robots in Disguise, it felt not quite right. It is what it is, but it just...
It's almost like the tagline is gone, but not forgotten. You know, it's like implied. These are Transformers more than meets the eye. They just don't say it anymore, and it's just not highlighted.
The films did not have it. I mean, maybe on the CD soundtrack. What was that Cheap Trick that did it, I think?
Yeah.
Mute Math?
Yeah.
And
but as far as, you know, Transformers for the past at least decade, they've not really utilized it to its fullest potential, and it's, I think, becoming distanced from the brand a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may change here with this next series. Cyberverse, was it?
Yeah.
I'm jealous they're getting Shockwave. I'm just saying. I'm jealous.
That whole subline looks like a massive turd, polished turd to me.
Well, again, it's for a much younger audience. It's basically replacing Rescue Bots until Rescue Bots Academy comes out. So I mean, they need something on the shelf. You know, we've talked about this before too. You know, we're beating a dead mock kick, but you know, we're not the target audience. You know, right, so they need the younger stuff out there, because since Rescue Bots is pretty much going away until the Rescue Bots Academy starts. One thing that we also see on the back, or not see on the back, is, well, one, cross sells. We don't see a lot of, you know, it's still there sometimes, but you know, you don't see a lot of the cross sell for the
they're
other
usually
products
on like the bottom of the package and stuff.
The bottom, or you only have like one or two of the wave, you don't have the rest of them. but it's so small, and like you said, the tech specs, the BIOS, up until Power of the Primes. Well, but the main thing for me is the card artwork is one of the things. It just seems to be getting now. Combiner Wars was, you know, that started getting better, but there for the longest time, it just seemed like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's just the boxes are just kind of the same generic blah.
See, yeah, I mean, it's like,
but on the bright side, it's a step above the Dull Surprise we used to get about a decade ago. Remember, with Prowl and all them, Galvatron. And... Well, see, what was that? 2.0 was it? Universe 2.0.
If you really look at it, though, this is I'm holding up on the camera. This is a G1 Fangry box. Just looking at the box, you know, of course you got the tagline there, more, much more than meets the eye, because he's 88, I think.
Yeah.
No, he's 87, actually.
Is he?
Yeah, copyright 1987. He's an 87. Oh. So he's got the more, much more than meets the eye up there. And then there's no cross sales on the outside of this packaging. I'm pretty sure there was, in Generation 1, we had the catalogs, which was the cross sales in there. And this is another thing that actually has come back in recent years, I think with the later generations figures, getting a lot of really cool box art.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, is that, you know, the cross sales help you show the people at the stores what else you're looking for that's not that one figure. So you have something to go by. We don't have the catalogs anymore, which I really miss. But I don't think those are needed as much because you have online.
Well,
so you can look it up. But the thing about but the main thing is the box art, because you want something that jumps off the shelf that gets your attention.
Yeah. And these Power do. The Prime,
Power of the Primes does that. They have some phenomenal box art. And I think it's
large part to Marcelo Moderay that does a lot of that too.
Yeah. So I mean, the Power of the Prime stuff is really a phenomenal step above what we were getting, even with Titans Return and stuff like that. And you know, it's just it's a lot of little things that work together to make a packaging stand out.
Well, speaking of little things, here's something else on a Generation 1 package that has completely disappeared and has been gone for many, many decades. And I'm going to hold it up right now, right here.
Boom. Robot
the
points.
UPC code.
Robot points.
The points.
The robot
points. Yeah, that's
points.
What I meant.
Here was G1 Fangry worth 2 robot points. You cut them out. You know, there's a little perforated line around the robot points. You cut them out, save them up, and send them in for things like the Stars base, the Omnibots, reflector. Mm-hmm. You just don't have that anymore. They're gone. And see, the robot points used to be one of the most, you know, identifiable things with Generation 1 Transformers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were even present with Beast Wars. Beast Wars had robot points.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why Hasbro doesn't do that kind of engagement with the fan base anymore. Because, I mean, you know, money. Even, you know, it's well, money. It would just seem like there has to be a natural evolution of the robot points at some point. You know, if you can scan a QR code and download stuff for a mobile game, you should be able to download something in the box that would show that you purchased it, and that would be like it's like a reward program. Inside the box is a piece of paper with a barcode. You scan it with a QR code. Maybe you scan a receipt if it's a bar. I don't know if that would work or not, but you would scan the QR code and you would set up an account with Hasbro. And every time you scan that, if you buy, I'm sure there's ways of working it out. I'm just saying in general, scan the barcode, get the points, redeem the points at a Hasbro either Hasbro toy shop, something Hasbro sets up as like a little gift center. There, I mean, some kind of engagement with the buyers of the products is missed. I mean, even if it's just, you know, maybe save up points towards a coupon that you can use in store. I'm just saying examples of trying to get that engagement back. But
well, they do have the fan vote. I think that might be in some loose form. Still attempting to engage the fans to a degree.
Which yeah, I hear there's another one coming up.
So. Yeah, it was covered. Apparently there's coming out of Toy Fair. There's three sets of figures. Now I'm doing this based on what I was told during the live stream on RFC, so I don't know all the details. There's three sets of figures, and you vote on which pair of figures in each set gets made.
We better get all three.
We eventually over 20 years maybe, but it's like there's like apparently you've got Jazz and somebody Skywarp maybe. You've got Trax. No Trax is with Needle Nose.
Okay,
and then
Trax and Needle Nose, Spinister and Wheeljack, and
was it Spinister and Jazz?
I think it was Spinister and Wheeljack, and then you had Bludgeon and Impactor, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, you've got that, which is good. It's just, you know, I just think there could be some kind of to make your purchases be worth something other than just you getting a figure. But again, that's for someone who's more in tune to how they can do it in the e-commerce situation now. Mm-hmm. One thing I don't like that's been done, especially with the movie figures, which we don't have to worry about apparently anymore, which we'll talk about probably a little bit later on.
Yeah, we could segue into it.
Yeah, is these movie boxes for the deluxes. And we've all talked about this before. It's a waste of packaging. They don't look good. The first wave or two, the figures were kind of hidden in the boxes. They didn't match the window for the display purposes. They went up money. Now, again, we know the cost of oil, and we've talked about all this before. But also, Aaron Archer has said in the past that packaging can cost up to 60% of a toy's retail price. And they're trying to make these new movie packages look like your Marvel Legends for $20, your Black Series Star Wars for $20, your 6-inch figures. They're trying to make you think there's more value in the box than there actually is. Exactly, Durham. There's more value in this box because it casts aspirations to these other high-end figures, so it just must be these high-end figures. No, not when the entire first wave is mostly repaints and mild retools from previous lines.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I'm on the other end of the spectrum, though, and that was something else that I was going to bring up about that about these is that it's something that you don't see as often anymore. I mean, it is making a bit of a comeback, like you said, with the movie premium line, you know, in a more general is, you know, if G1 Fangry were to be released today, he would easily have been placed on a card. He would have been a carded figure, not a boxed figure. And it also led more to the feeling that whenever you picked up these Headmaster Juniors, you felt like you were getting more of a toy than what was actually in the box. Because let's face it, Fangry, as awesome as he is actually quite a small toy. You know, I mean, he's roughly a deluxe size toy, and the Headmaster is about an inch tall whenever he's unfolded into his little robot mode. So he is a tiny guy. So he would have easily fit on a card, but yet he's got this nice big cushy box that he comes in or that he came in. You know, nowadays today, and it goes right into what you were talking about, Don. You know, it's all about cost, and they're reducing the cost of the figure by reducing the packaging. But at the same time, for certain figures that they want to push, like the movie toys, they up the packaging in order to like G1 Fangry here, make you feel like you got more of a toy than what you actually are. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's part of it. You know, because that line is called the movie premium series. They want you to think you're getting a premium figure, even though the first few were actually just redecoed versions of toys that you probably already had.
Yeah, you know? it was movie five was the worst launch of the entire movie universe.
I agree.
Because, I mean, you had most of the stores didn't even have around here. Didn't even have the stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just.
Well, we could go on and on about what was done right and what was done wrong with the movie franchise. For example, with The Last Night, you would have thought that with four previous movies under their belt, they would have had this down to a science. You know, this is what, you know, fans buy, this is what they like, and we're catering to it. You know, we're, you know, giving the new characters from the movie and we're going to cater to it. No, they did just the same thing they kept doing over and over again. And people were getting tired of it, I think. The fans actually spoke with their wallets. People were tired of their shit, honestly.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, you know, they flood the market with, I mean, not as far as the toys go. Flood the market with Wave 1, clog everything up, and then all the stuff that is new is in waves that you never see, have to order online out of frustration because you never see it, or are canceled and just vanish into the ether like vaporware.
Mm-hmm. Well, Power of the Primes is a big conundrum in and of itself because Wave 1 is essentially over. It's came and went like boom, like that. Wave 2 is already on the shelf. People's finding them all over the U.S. already. And it's crazy. And how fast will that come and go? And if you remember, Combiner Wars was much the same way. Combiner Wars, Wave 1 and 2 came and went. And then there was like another flood of Wave 1. And then, you know, Wave 3 and 4 was a little harder to find. What was Wave 3? The Protectobots?
Yes.
Yeah, and they were hard to find at retail, at least around here. So, you know, it's really confusing how this distribution beast works. But, you know, we're digressing too much from the topic. But, you know, that's just something that, you know, it's part of the brand. You know, it's always been like that. You know, back in Generation 1, I remember there were characters, toys that, you know, I had friends that lived in other states. I didn't even see them on the shelf where I lived. You know, for example, Fort Max, I saw him on the shelf one time, and that's whenever I was visiting family in Michigan at the time. They were living in Flint. And I saw Fort Max on the shelf. I saw Scorponok on the shelf. And I saw Scorponok on the shelf one more time, but I never saw Fort Max again because he was so flipping big and it was at a Meijer. I remember that much. And then there were other characters, Omega Supreme. I hardly ever saw on the shelf. Target Master Cup and Blur were hard to find for me. It all depended on your demographic, I guess, or geographic location rather, and that is not a lost art. I mean, it's something that's still prevalent today, and I think once things leave Hasbro's warehouse, it's a crapshoot, and they have no control over it.
Yeah.
But getting back to the topic, though, Don, did you have any other ideas of the things that once were identified with the franchise, but now are either very, low-key or completely gone?
I've been sitting here thinking about that, and it's just, you know, we've talked about the, you know, the rub signs, the catalogs, you know, the robot points, the tagline. I guess this is kind of a fringe thing, but for me, being able to get the music. Again, this is something that may not mean much to people, but you know, with Transformers the movie, we can get the soundtrack, and with the movies themselves, we got the scores and stuff. But I would like to be able to go out and get a music CD of the music from Prime or from Animated, you know.
Just
and
download it.
Well, yeah, you know, but I mean. You know, I would like to be able to go out and get the music from the series that doesn't have the show on top of it. And maybe it is downloadable, but I'm just saying from a standpoint of having toy-related merchandise in stores to buy. If I wanted to go buy a copy so I could, you know, again, this is me being old. But, you know, I'd rather go buy a CD and have something physical in my hands to enjoy than downloading something and it taking forever and ever and ever, and then I would have to, you know, do all that. You know, I would like to just be able to go out. You know, I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to get the Japanese set, that 5-disc set that had all the Japanese music from Super Robot Lifeform all the way up through Zone. And it's got all the incidental music, the scene change music, the background music, the main titles, clean openings, karaoke versions. I might not can understand them, but I know that music and I enjoy those themes. But you can't do that anymore. You just can't get, I mean, even there's not even available online. It's like, let's say Machinima's Time to Return didn't suck and you wanted the music from it. You can't go somewhere and download an album and pay for an album of music from the series. And that's kind of something I miss.
I want to agree with one point you made just a moment ago, Don, that yes, you are old.
Gee, thanks. I'm going to put in the chat a 2-word reply and you can check it out later.
He just needs to adjust his glasses.
Yeah. You guys are talking about, you know, having remembered seeing Fort Max on the shelves and this and that, you know. Some of my earliest memories, I remember seeing, you know, Slam Dance and Horrid Bull on shelves at Kmart and Hills, you know. But no, if memory serves correctly, actually, I want to say couple years or
Fangry
no,
here.
What's that?
Look at the prostate.
Yes, Kmart. A few months ago, TFCOG, the fan subbing group, they actually went through and released Generation 1 background music from the series. They went through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, digitally removed, you know, laser effects and voices and stuff as best they could. And they've got a full rundown of all 3 seasons now available.
That's it. So we're TFCOG.
Look out for that.
What's that, Jim? TFCOG?
TFCOG.net, I think, or .com, maybe.
Okay, I'm not aware of that.
Just Google TFCOG fan sub. I'm sure it'll turn up. Okay. I'll double check you right quick as soon as my browser opens. But they've done fan subbing of different series like Zone and you know, Beast Wars 2nd, things like that.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, you know, it's that's kind of a weird thing, but. And it wasn't all that prevalent, you know, except for the movie, the animated movie and that. But it's just something I guess this is basically I miss getting all the peripheral stuff.
Yes.
Going out and getting tie-in DVDs or you just don't see that much anymore. And it's part of things that don't exist anymore.
What about, you know, diecast?
I'm not talking in a while.
Yeah. I'm talking about diecast in toys.
He's a lost art.
In official toys, we don't get it as much anymore. I mean, Masterpiece tends to use it from time to time. Yeah. But mainline toys, you don't see it more. Anymore.
You see it more in third party than anywhere else.
Yeah.
For our viewers and listeners, that is thetfcog.com.
Yeah, I think the problem with that, Duran, is diecast has gotten such a bad rap
through the years. Much like Chrome too, and that was another one I was going to bring up.
Yeah, it's all in the application because I think what hurt diecast the most was the titanium line overall, because you had some pretty interesting figures in that. But all the way to the diecast, like that tank Megatron.
The G.I. Joe Megatron?
The G.I. Joe Megatron. You know, I think TJ Omega rated that the worst Transformer of all time. And
Diaper Wave.
And, well, even Soundwave could stand for the most part. But, you know, I think that is what turned people off on diecast, because it was overused or not used properly.
Mm-hmm. It was used for the sake of use is what it was.
Exactly. And Chrome, you are exactly right on Chrome, because look at Hinkey. Look at the weird placement of Chrome in that line. I'm
a big fan of diecast and Chrome in my toys if it's well used and seems to have meaning. Even Generation 1 seemed to have some uses of it that was a little questionable. But granted, that is first generation toys of this brand of this ilk, and you know they're going to have some design issues. That was all throughout the series. But nowadays, if you use diecast, you can use diecast in very sensible ways. You know, I'm a Fans Toys fanboy. I admit it. And there are a lot of their toys, whenever it uses the use of diecast in it, is usually for balance, you know, helps balance the toy. You know, if it's, for example, if it's a very back-heavy toy, then they'll put some heavy diecast metal on the chest to kind of give it that counterbalance. Whenever you stand the toy, he's going to stand there. Or have, several of them have diecast in the feet. You know, or the feet themselves are diecast. That helps a lot. Helps balance the toy. And it's a very good, fair use of diecast metal. Chrome, to me, a good, fair use of chrome is like on a truck grill. You know, like on Optimus Prime, you expect a chrome grill. It looks pretty on tire rims. Looks pretty on that. But, like you said, on Henkei, there's just random weapons and random things that were chromed. Makes no sense. And then there's also another bad use of chrome. For example, Beast Machine's Jetstorm. Or Transmetal, anything Transmetal. It just pretty much flakes off.
Now, is there a major difference between the standard chrome like you would see on toys and the vac metal method that was used mainly on like Transmetals and that? Are those two different processes?
I would imagine they're the same process, just different.
Okay, I'm thinking like Generation 1 weapons and you know, Generation 1 Megatron compared to
the thing with Generation 1 weapons, it almost looked like they were more dipped. I could be wrong. It looked like they were more dipped in chrome than they were painted in chrome, but I think what it is, the process of chroming a toy part or weapon, it's actually put into a tumbler, and like the vacuum, you have to read up on it, but if I'm not mistaken, it's actually put into a tumbler of some kind that helps the chrome stick to it. But there's a process to it. I'm not fully versed in it. But I have read on it before. But yeah, those to me are lost art things. I mean, we still have some uses of chrome in modern toys. Not so much diecast outside of third party and some masterpieces. If I'm not mistaken, Sunstreaker had some diecast on him. The MP39.
Oh.
Yeah. I was thinking
Combiner Wars and
No, the MP39 Sunstreaker. I think there are some diecasts. He's up here. I can't get to him right now, but yeah, those are some lost items in the realm of Transformers. Some newer things, kind of changed gears here. Some newer things that were for many years considered a staple of the Transformers brand that basically fell off the face of the planet. You don't see them anymore. Minicons. You know, they came along with Armada, and for several years, even up into the Universe line, we were getting some minicons, lots of minicons, lots and lots of minicons.
Please, no more minicons.
Briefly, yeah. In one incarnation, in Robots in Disguise, but even then, the implementation thereof was pretty well.
Well, it wasn't the same use of them because like the minicon ports. Essentially, minicons were like Transformer jewelry. You know, it's like, look how many minicons I can wear. It's like this. I'm surprised they didn't have a Transformer called Mr. T.
I'm reminded of a little comic that someone made using their figures back in the early days of, I think, TFW or Trans Fandom, one of them. And it had Armada Megatron. It was completely covered. Every port was filled. He says, "Ha ha, I finally have all the minicons." And then Optimus says to him, "That's nice, but can you move?" Megatron says, "Crap."
but this is one thing too, where I apologize to our live viewers, where we're not able to be live for the last couple weeks now. My computer is totally crapping out and not wanting to. I mean, my CPU maxes out every time I hit the broadcast button. So I don't know, but I am trying to get a new computer.
That's what happens when you use fruit.
Yeah, no, it's what happens when you use an old computer. But anyway.
It's apple fruit.
I get it, but it has nothing to do with what kind of computer it is. But anyway, what I'm getting at is this is a time whenever I would refer to our live viewership and ask what their opinions of lost vestigial pieces of Transformers lore and pieces of Transformers history that once was famous and now is gone. So if you're watching this now or listening to it later, please tweet them to us at TFYLP on Twitter or post them on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. We'd love to hear from you. There's lots of other things we could talk about. I mean, off the top of my head, those are the things that come to my mind as things that we once identified with the brand. Can you guys think of any more before we move on?
I've been sitting here. I really can't think of anything else. We've covered pretty much everything. It's just, in some ways we're better, in some ways we're kind of not. It's just progress marches on whether you want it to or not.
One thing I've noticed that seems to be quite a bit less common than it used to be, and this is something I usually complain about, is translucent plastic. However, it is sensibly used in light piping for eyes, and I'm not seeing that much anymore. Granted, I know Titan's Return, you couldn't very well do that, but like with Combiner Wars and now Power of the Primes, take Rodimus Prime here, for example. I mean, that is a solid head. It's just a single unit front and back, and I feel that could have benefited from some some form of light piping for the eyes. I don't think that would have really cost too much extra. If anything, it might have saved a penny or two in the overall process. But,
I've stated on many occasions I'm a huge fan of light pipe eyes. Right. Because if you place it in the right light or something other, it looks phenomenal. Right. But then there's people on the other side of that spectrum. I know Greg Saint Galvatron, he says that it gives it the dead eyes look. You know, if he's sitting on a shelf and there's no light behind him, it looks like his eyes are dead. I get that, but at the same time, I want to have that, the ability for those eyes to look like they're lit up from time to time.
I can still remember the very first time as a child, very first time I ever saw light piping in a toy was from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles line. Metalhead, where you had in the top back of his head, he had his brain exposed, and that was the translucent plastic piece that was also the eyes. And so when light shone through the top of his head, the eyes would light up. And I thought that was the coolest thing, you know.
Well,
years later, you know, we got it in our Transformers. So,
you know, I like the light piping, but I think if it's going to be a figure in which the eyes are under a visor or set further back in the face because of the way the face is designed, I'd rather see it painted brightly versus the light piping, just because being under a visor or a helmet or something casts that shadow. Yeah. So I've seen light piping used in places where it would just been better just to add a little paint and just have a regular head. Mm-hmm. So again, it's going to be a figure by figure basis though.
Or, you know, another bad use of it is place light piping eyes on a figure that has like a backpack that sticks up high and it blocks light coming in from the back. Or, and we've seen this before too, paint over the light piping window on the back.
Yeah,
I was just getting ready to say that.
Yeah, it's sort of like Power of the Prime Starscream's has red paint striping down the wings under the foil sticker.
Does it really?
Several people on Twitter have mentioned that under those foil stickers on Power of the Prime Starscreams, there is some basic paint or tampo work under the wings, and they cover it with a foil sticker.
That's fantastic.
Stunning. Brilliant.
I've seen figures where they've painted over the light piped eyes as well. Trying to think of one. 2006 Classics Bumblebee, was that not one where they painted over the clear eyes?
Seems like they did. Yeah.
I'm thinking it was. But off the top of my head, I can't think of any particular example that would be a good.
I know I've seen it before. I know.
Right.
Yeah. But you also bring up another thing too that was kind of a lost art. In that stickers, you know, we still see them from time to time. I know Titan Returns Triptychon had a huge sticker sheet. Fort Max had a huge sticker sheet, but we just don't have a lot of stickers on our toys anymore. Granted, they've been going with the Tampo graphics a lot lately, and Tampo graphics look a lot better. You know, they're all usually look a lot better because they're more expertly applied and last a lot longer. But part of me as a kid, part of the enjoyment of a toy was sitting down for 5 minutes to a half hour to sticker a new toy. It was part of getting to know the new toy, you know, getting familiar with your new acquisition. And nowadays, it's just pull it out of the package and boom, there you go. It's ready to go.
I think it's a lost art. I agree with you there. Quite a number of figures recently, Octane and Blitzwing and, you know, even Rodimus Prime here, you know, they come packaged with stickers already applied. And I would Shittily honestly prefer that. That the for us to have the option to choose whether or not we'd like to have stickers. But when they are applied, I'd like them to be in places that aren't susceptible to getting scratched and shredded. Like Rodimus Prime's back shoulder here has a slash across that. That's Hot Rod's thigh. Mm-hmm. And I have to look at it now.
You know, I'm the exact opposite of Doran. I never, other than the Autobot or Decepticon symbols, I never put stickers on my figures. I always just went ahead and just put the faction insignia, and that was it. I didn't have the time, I didn't have the patience, and I didn't care because I was more concerned about the figure being open and on my shelf. But one thing that's been brought up a lot is if Hasbro is going to keep doing these stickers, then stop putting them on the figures, put the sheets in the box, and put them in the box for us to put on. So if we screw up, it's on us. So for the next 20 years, if that Autobot symbol is crooked, we blame ourselves.
But there is a blanket statement here we can make. Thank God for toy hacks.
Yes, exactly. So. They are, at if nothing else, they are the winners in the Hasbro sticker evil contest, because they'll be putting out a lot of sticker sheets for the next year and a half for all these figures that are coming out. Stickers. So, yeah.
Go ahead, Jim.
I say Toy Hacks, that's also known as Repro Labels.
Yes.
Right. And that actually reminds me of something, because a couple things that Toy Hacks, or Repro Labels, if you will, offers, besides just Transformer stickers, are also Power Ranger stickers. And did the license for Power Rangers not recently, as of this week, go to Hasbro?
Yes. And they for the fans who are listening to this after this Saturday, they will be, and for those fans who know, they will be adapting Tokume Sentai Go Busters as Power Rangers Beast Morphers. And so that will be the line they'll be adapting for 2019.
That makes me wonder, are we now going to see finally trademarked this Optimus Prime Megazord we've read about on TF Wiki for years on the trademark section?
Never heard of that.
Well, it was an example they had used about, you know, trademarking different names and stuff in that article. And I'm just wondering, you know, since Transformers has crossed over with Marvel and with, you know, all these other things, Star Wars, if we'll eventually in some form see, for some reason, Power Ranger Transformers. If for no other reason than because
they I would imagine that we might see some crossover usage of molds, you know, kind of like, you know, Diaclone and Microman, you know, was reused in Transformers, you know, and I'm sure there were some other uses that I can't think of off the top of my head, but I don't see no reason why you can't use one converting line, robot line with another. But you know, another thing that comes to my mind too, and they went away for a while and then came back and then went away and then come back. But it's something that in Generation 1, you started out with the instructions. The instructions, they started out actual photos of the toy. This is the part you need to move. Love that. But apparently that was too expensive, so they just went to illustrations. But at least the illustrations were large, or relatively large, and high contrast. You could generally see what part you needed to move or where the sticker needed to be placed and things like that. Nowadays, it's usually printed very small on a dark sheet of paper on dark print. And it's just impossible to see it sometimes. I think it's a lost art of good clear instructions.
I think both Hasbro, Takara, and third party really, really need to start either making better instructions or give up on instructions inside. And having transformation videos on their own dedicated channel.
Well, I'll be honest.
By somebody who knows the product and knows how to transform
it. I picked up last night. I picked up KFC's Stratotanker, which is their masterpiece Octane. This afternoon, I sat down and converted it between all three modes, and I like the figure. I'm not going to sit here and bash it, and I'm not going to say that it's better than Unique Toys Provider. It does some things better, and the aesthetic is better than Provider. But I think Provider has a better transformation. But going back to the instructions and the point that I'm bringing up by bringing up Stratotanker is that in the instructions, for the most part, they are pretty clear. But there's several parts where you go from one motion to the next, and it doesn't. It's like they missed a step in between. You're like, okay, how did you get from this part to this part? You know, and it's in panels that are either right next to each other, or you get to the end of one page and you turn the page, and you're like, okay, how did they get to this part? And so often I see that, you know, it's like a misstep.
Yeah, it's like being in college and say, this is the start of the problem, this is the end of the problem, this
tell is us what's in the middle.
Or like this is the stuff you had last year, and I'm not going to explain it. Let's move on to the next problem. And it's like, you can't get to there from there. With what?
Or it's kind of like it's kind of like the Common Core stuff that's out now. It's like, Bobby has four apples, Jill has three, and their mother gave them 12. How many does Ted have?
Yeah, it's like
you're like, what? I need some information here. You know?
It's like, yeah, like you said, Billy has five apples, Sarah has six. What color is the sky in Albuquerque right now? There's no correlation between what you're saying and what you're giving.
Yeah,
the answer is clearly Pat Boone.
Yes,
but yeah, you know, but there's so many good YouTube reviewers out there that do. I mean, I have relied on many YouTube reviewers to get some of this third party stuff done properly, because they have much more patience than I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not breaking my figures.
Well, it's like, you know, going back to that missing step thing with Stratotanker, you know, I fussed around for a good 45 minutes on how the front of the truck trailer is supposed to collapse in up on itself. I fussed around for 45 minutes with that thing, just trying to figure out how to do it, because there was a misstep in the instructions that didn't clearly show you how to do it. It just said, be careful here. And you're like, okay, what do I need to do to be careful? And it just showed a static picture, be careful here. Okay. And so here I was for 45 minutes trying not to break a $130 toy, unfortunately, I didn't.
It's almost like a safety label. Just says don't.
Yes.
It doesn't say don't what. Just don't.
Yeah. Don't push close to pull open. What? Okay. But you know, it's something. You know, good clear instructions used to be a stalwart, as it were, with original. You know, with older Transformers. I forget where. The instructions started to get poor. I know there was some, I think in Beast Machines, where the illustrations were kind of rudimentary. It almost looked like a 10th grader.
The challenge was in the change.
Yeah.
Well, actually, now that's the one thing I will say about Beast Machines. The one good point I have about them. And that they use basically the figures grayscale prototype colors.
There were some that were illustrations though.
Yeah. But the ones that use the actual gray prototype colors and then marked in white or red what was moving, that was probably the best instructions we had. As to seeing what the hell did what.
I think that was, I count that as the second best, because the best were the photographs from the early G1s.
Like, that's true.
You know,
that's
G1 true. Jazz, G1 Blue Streak, Prowl, they all had photographs in their instructions. I missed that.
Yeah, well, Darren, let me ask you this, Darren, and just as a tangent real quick. With, you know how they're always trying to save money? You remember they went from plastic ties to those rattan ties to save money and be more economically friendly. Do you think maybe with all the all the stuff going on that they're trying to keep the packaging costs down, that we've got to the point where if they're saving enough, maybe we could go back to those G1 style books at some point if the fans ask for them.
I don't foresee them doing that. I really don't. And honestly, I think it was last year or year before last, I did the Titan Returns Bumblebee. I did a sample. I sat down for several hours, and I took a photo of each stage of Titan Returns Bumblebee and made an instruction booklet, a PDF instruction booklet out of it. And I put it up for people to, you know, to tell me what they thought, and nobody seemed to care. You know, I mean, granted, it was Bumblebee, but it was a proof of concept. You know, it's like, here's photographs of what to do. Here's how the toy should look. You know, there's no, what am I moving here? What is that part? You know, in a photograph, you can actually see what parts move and where they move to. And I thought there would have been a better feedback from that, but most people met it with, eh. You know, so yeah. I really, you know, as much as I miss it and much as I think the brand still needs it, I honestly don't think people care enough about it. And for the most part, most people like to try to transform their toys without even looking at the instructions. Yeah. You know, and I've been guilty of it before. I've opened up a toy and said, you know, I'm going to tackle this without even not even touch the instructions.
After Six Shot with him and his sealed instructions, you know, where they challenged you to not open it unless you really had to.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not doing that again. I don't care. No, no.
Well, you know,
such a wonderful submarine it was.
You know, I was brave a couple weeks ago, and whenever I picked up X-Transbots Andross again for the second time, you know, I regretted selling it, and then I picked up another one, and I transformed it with no instructions. Granted, I've transformed it before, so I knew what had to be done, but I tackled it this time without even referring to the instructions again. And I remembered how much of a bitch those feet were on that thing. Oh,
that was the worst part of the figure.
Well, everybody, it was at the Kentucky meetup last week. We had it at Boom Boss, everybody was wanting to see the figure. I had everything else on him transformed from the head all the way down, and it took me maybe 5 minutes to get him, you know, mostly transformed. You know, the wings were opened up, the head was up, you know, the arms were out, hands were out, and the legs were turned around the way they were supposed to be. And here I spent 20 minutes each on the feet, just trying to get them rotated around. And everybody's like, wow, is it taking that long? And I'm like, look, this is the clearance that you have to get this big old clawed foot through, you know? And it has to be a specific way just to get it through. And yeah, it's a pain in the butt. But
you know, being that we've been talking about instructions, I just happen to think of one feature that they had for quite a number of years in the instruction booklets for the brand that has since gone away, which I think a lot of the fans really enjoyed, were the Easter eggs that we got when they would do the instructions with the
alternate heads.
Alternate heads, yeah. From the shared molds of figures. And it would be kind of a sneak peek at or a preview of upcoming releases that weren't previously announced.
Like Dark Mount, then he come out and we saw that he had Skullgren's head.
Yeah, Skullgren.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That was a neat time.
That was fun.
Although it was usually spoiled online before we even got the toy, but.
Sure.
And that's another thing too, and it also leads to the instructions argument. Is that if the instructions aren't good enough, usually if you look in the right places, you can find your answers online. You know, like Don referred to the video reviewers. You know, if I really came to a stump part there on that on Stratotanker, and I was almost to that point today, you know, I was going to pull up somebody's YouTube review and fast forward to that part and say, okay, let's see what you did here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. I literally don't even bother with the included. I've gave up on even using the included instructions. I don't even look at them hardly anymore. I open the figure. I go straight to a reviewer of my choice depends. Some reviewers start with the mode it comes in. Some start in the opposite mode and go to, you know, how different people do it different ways. But I don't even bother. I mean, I don't think I've used an actual instruction manual in over a year or two. I just go right to a video review if there's one ready, because it's just, I know what I'm going to run into.
Yeah. But, you know, if you can think of other things, we'd love to hear from you. Like I said earlier, share your thoughts with us on our social media outlets, or even on the comments of this video on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you on your thoughts. What things in Transformers that you once considered a part of the brand that is either just not there anymore or very seldomly used? What are your views on this? You know, so for the next, I want to say 10 minutes. You know, I want to try to hold it to 10 minutes. I don't want to go too much into it because I'm sure we're going to cover it off and on throughout the next coming weeks. But New York Toy Fair 2018, today was the first full day of the show. And we had some news elements. Don, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot since you were on the RFC live cast today about some of the reveals. What's some of the highlights that we are excited to see from New York Toy Fair?
Just as a disclaimer, I was not there as the information was being released earlier on. I came in after work, so I'm doing this from memory, and I'm very tired. So there's a lot out there. So go to your favorite website of your choice, T-Formers, WTFW 2005, AllSpark, whatever the case may be, and pick your favorite site and just go through the pictures. But we saw Predaking for the first time.
Looks amazing.
Predaking fully revealed as Predacons, as Predaking and the box. We saw Abominus fully revealed. A gorgeous, gorgeous figure. Other than they're matching the hands to the character and not a set color for all for both hands and feet.
Perfect fit. Kinda,
perfect fit. Yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, but there's that. We see the upcoming Titan Masters. What we see a lot of, though, we see Moonracer. We see Firestar, who looks great.
Nova Star.
Yeah. She'll always be Firestar to me, but it's like it's an RFC. Now I got to find Iceman and Spider-Man to complete the set. But we saw a lot of the new kid-friendly lines. It's like the Cyberverse with the Bumblebee and Windblade cartoon coming out. They're bringing back the Ultra class, an Ultra price point for that. There's a large sort of leader for that size price point. That's going to be what's taking the place of Rescue Bots kind of for the younger kids. So there's,
and I'm happy that they're continuing something for the younger children, because, you know, if this brand is to continue another 30 plus years, you're going to have children that come on board with the brand and stick with it. And I fear that eventually Transformers is going to get to the point where I don't want it to become another G.I. Joe, you know, where the fandom has shrunk so small that, you know, hardly anybody shows up and to the shows and the movies bomb. And it just, our movies are already bombing, but that leads to another announcement. That was from New York Toy Fair, in that the live action movie franchise as we know it after Bumblebee is done.
Going down in Optimus Prime's flames.
Yes. They are looking to reboot it in 2021?
Yeah, movie 6 is canceled. So whatever cliffhangers you were dying to have answered at the end of last night,
and the myriad.
Yeah, it's like, you know, unfortunately, there was some fairly decent actors in last night. The young lady that was the street, the orphan She was a very good actress. I like seeing her in future Transformer stuff, which obviously is not going to be a problem. And then there's a Highway Patrolman. So, yeah, it's... Hey, goodbye. But on a related note, the movies are canceled, but the studio series figures are coming out, celebrating the history of the movie line.
Well, I'm sure we'll always get something that will refer to the movies, because let's face it, the live action movies have represented the brand in the general public's eye for over a decade now.
Right. Right. You know, we're getting,
I just want to mention briefly, the Bumblebee movie is still slated for this year. It's pretty much finished.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably post-production already.
Since it is a prequel, I'm hoping it takes place in such a way where it could not just tie into the former films if they wanted to.
I fear
that it could also be a launching pad for starting whatever they do now.
I think the Bumblebee movie is probably just going to be a blow-off movie. It's probably not going to be that good. Honestly,
even if the movie was good, if they've decided to reboot the line and say, okay, we've had the run, we're done, this part of the story is told, they're not going to reboot it and then harken back to it. They're going to make a clean break and say, this is done. This didn't work quite the way we wanted to for the next 16 movies.
I guess what I was saying is not so much to harken back to the older films, so much as the Bumblebee being a prequel wouldn't necessarily have to be tied to the other films, because the other films chronologically hadn't even happened yet. So,
well, no, that's what I'm saying, though.
Michael Bay never occurred.
Well, I'm just saying, though, this Bumblebee movie is part of this same continuity. So, yes, so even if you could pigeonhole connections to it for the new continuity, I don't think they would, because they don't want a reference back to that. They want the clean break and they want the new focus.
Yeah. On the bright side, though, Bumblebee is slated to be a VW Beetle, is he not?
I think so.
Yeah. I was pretty sure.
Yeah. But we got pictures of we got a new Lockdown coming, a new Jazz, a new Optimus and Starscream.
Leader class Grimlock.
Yeah.
I could care less about Grimlock. Blackout. We get a leader class Blackout that looks, because if any figure should have been a larger class size, it would have been Blackout. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for that. We get
Masterpiece Movie Ironhide.
Masterpiece Movie. He does look good. We also got a look at Optimus Primal and Optimal Optimus. He was shown off at Toy Fair. Optimus Primal is a surfboard.
Yep.
He becomes the butt for Optimal Optimus.
A transformer that literally turns into a brick.
Yeah, and I guess you could call him a Thigh Master, because he's kind of
more, much more than meets the eye.
Transformers ass masters.
Hey, real quick question before we segue too far. Just go back to the movie stuff for just a quick moment. Isn't the first wave of the deluxes available for ordering on Hasbro?
Yes. The new Bumblebee, Stinger, Crowbar, and Ratchet are/or were available for order at Hasbro Toy Shop, like what they've done in the past. Like last year, the Star Wars 20th anniversary, Star Wars? 40th, the 40th.
Yeah,
40th. They were available that day as well. Coupon codes are not valid. Free shipping is not valid, I don't believe, because it's just like the San Diego stuff. Your coupon codes aren't going to work. You can't Dynamics it. So there's that.
Right.
I was going to get a Stinger, but he would have been about 30 shipped, and it's like, I'll wait and see how the reviews are, because I'm really don't want to drop $30 for a deluxe, because I had to drop.
They're going to end up in regular retail, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just there wasn't anything else. Well, there wasn't anything else I wanted to add to it, because Ratchet doesn't mean much for me. Crowbar looks almost like Berserker.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's enough differences to a more engaged fan of the movies. And I sure as hell don't need another Bumblebee with the Bumblebee movie coming out and me having Masterpiece Bumblebee sitting over there untransformed. So
swarm already.
Yeah.
Also on a movie related note, I think it should be stated too that Hasbro intends to have much more creative control over the movie reboot.
Yes.
Indeed. And that was something that was very evident in the last 10 years, that they had given Michael Bay so much creative license with the brand that it almost became unidentifiable with what Transformers really were, you know. And it's sad that was, like I said earlier, that the movie franchise has pretty much been the face of Transformers in the general public's eye for over a decade. And now, what Michael Bay has put forth is pretty much canon to people that aren't hardcore Transformer fans. And it's brought so many Transformer fans to the brand or back to the brand that they will accept it as canon. And that's what scares me. You know, that essentially, in my opinion, as a fan since the 80s, a bastardized version of our brand is now becoming the what a lot of people will remember. You know, in 25, 30 years from now, will people be clamoring for reissues of those toys? Will it be as memorable then as it is now? We'll see. But go ahead.
Out of the different incarnations this brand has had over the decades, in my personal headcanon here,
So you're locked down now.
What's that?
So you're locked down now.
Or Hot Rod, same mold. But I'm personally relegating the live action films that Michael Bay was responsible for to be the equivalent of the Val Kilmer Batman. It happened, but we just kind of push it off to the back.
I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed probably any of the movies, at least with Jim Carrey being the Riddler.
Which one was it that had the bat nipples? Was that?
That was four. That was Clooney. That was Clooney.
Okay, well, either one of them. You know, Michael Keaton is where we need to go as far as direction.
But yeah, so you know, like I said, check out also Titan Masters. Prime Masters. We're seeing Bludgeon, Octopunch, and several others as well. So check your favorite news site for all the updates. And I'm sure as we get more reveals and more photos from Hasbro, we'll all be bringing this up over the course of the next few weeks, like Duron said, because there'll be a lot of news coming out.
I have to say, though, and this is just me picking nits, the upcoming Bludgeon Prime Master figure, I don't know if I'm the only one that this is bothering, but with that Bludgeon figure, I was kind of hoping that the inner Prime Master figure that goes in the shell would have been green and purple to then go inside the more samurai-looking shell.
I'm confused. Is Octopunch supposed to be some kind of hentai tentacle weapon or something, you know?
No. He's whatever you want him to be in your imagination.
It's like I can just see Hot Rod taking Octopunch and using him on RC. Don, just
thank you for that.
Don just bounce off screen. It's a virtual Massey attack on his face.
Way to keep it classy, Duron.
Always.
Way to keep it
always
classy. Don't be a Richard. Don't be a Richard.
So what else from Toy Fair that was announced?
Well,
I saw something briefly when I was scrolling through everything. I saw an Optimus and a Megatron that had like translucent torsos. What's that? Some kind of thing.
I'm not sure on that. The only other big news really that I can think of, it's not really Transformers related, but it might be at some point, is they are now doing a crowdfunding kind of concept, like Takara did for Grand Maximus, and they're doing Jabba's sail barge for Return of the Jedi. It's going to be $500, and they need, what was it, 1,000 people to sign up for it to be produced and created. It's It's 4 feet long.
That'll be funded in a week.
So this may relate to Transformers later on, if this crowdfunding, you know, it did work for Grand Maximus. We are getting him, sans the Prime Master, and they're trying this with Jabba Sail Barge, which if there's any group of collectors out there that's more hardcore than Transformers collectors, it's gonna be your Star Wars folks.
Absolutely.
So, and if this works, we might see, you know, an animated Omega. We might see Scorponok. We might see Titan Masters now done this way, with Fortress Maximus not having done as well as Trypticon. I mean, Metroplex. I think Trypticon did pretty well once they got the snapping hips fixed.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they did a Titan class Omega Supreme, but instead of turning into a rocket base, they kind of modernized him and turned him into like went the animated route and made him into the Ark. That would be awesome.
I think if this crowdfunding does take off and they see the viability of it, that's how we'll get our Unicron. Because to be Titan, to be a Supreme class. Power of the Prime.
They'd have to make an ultimate class, and that would have to be bigger than Titan. Unicron and Primus would have to be the only two that could ever occupy price point.
I definitely agree with you on that, Duran. I'm just thinking it would still be about the same size as your Metroplex, and because if you look at Metroplex and Fortress Maximus, they're basically rectangles that fold down. So there's a lot of engineering in there, but they don't have to turn into a ball, which I think would take a lot more engineering than turning into a plank.
Because balls are more complex than squares.
Well, you know, I'm saying with the ring of lights and the folding in and the doozies and the watsits and the thingamajigs. But right. I'm just saying that there's more. I say there'd be more involved making a Unicron to be accurate to Unicron materials wise.
That maybe down the pipeline, but I don't know if they would necessarily go that route yet. I could be wrong. You know, if that barge is successful with the Star Wars brand, then you know it's very possible they could segue over to us.
Yeah, it just I just can't imagine another Transformers character other than Unicron or Primus, where they would say, this is going to cost us a buttload of money. Let's make sure people are actually going to pay for it first. Of course, the downside is you can wind up with another Matty Collector Castle Grayskull. And for those of you who don't know, check that out on your favorite internet website, because the story is sad and fascinating on that as well.
You know it's sad but true. All right, guys. I think that'll wrap it up for. Go ahead.
I just had a thought on that Omega. You were saying, you know, rocket base or the Ark, and it occurred to me thus far, aside from Devastator, the Titan class figures have had three modes. So would it be too much of a stretch to have the rocket
like,
base
just like
convert into an
a
Ark
spaceship? Mm-hmm.
So well, you then still retain your rocket, your little tram system or whatever, and your ship.
It would kind of be like a reverse Star Wars crossover Millennium Falcon.
Sure.
So you'd have one robot turning into two things for the rocket base and then recombining for the Ark.
Why not? You got two things.
Well, you got to think, though.
Combine into a robot or into a Winnebago.
You've got to think, though, that Omega Supreme is it showed up on the fan vote before. And he's on the radar. It makes me wonder. Yeah, it makes me wonder if we can actually get him.
I think so. I mean, Scorponok, we've even got the Titan Master already. So,
me personally, I like G1 more than animated, so I hope he's more of a rocket base than anything else. But I understand that the animated fandom out there is quite vocal, and it would be awesome to see him turn into the art. So maybe if they pulled off, a double doozy there and made them combine into one. I'm kind of wondering if that might be the question mark for the fan vote. You know, do you want Omega Supreme? Maybe. I don't know.
Yes.
But we'll see. All right. I think that'll wrap it up for this episode of TFYLP. Had some great discussions tonight on things that were once part of the brand and are now or not. Tell us your thoughts on that. Also, we talked a little bit about the highlights from the New York Toy Fair in New York here in 2018. I'm sure there's going to be more information coming out. We still got another day or two left of this. Maybe we'll get some more information out of that. And we'll cover it on future episodes of TFYLP.
I wonder what they'll surprise us with next, honestly. Another exclusive figure with no advance notice, you know.
Maybe an RC that has that's shaped like that poster that you see that has like the nipples and all that stuff. No,
you mean like Insane Galvatron's mouse pad?
Yeah. Now his is raised to where he sits there and he's rubbing on the. Never mind. Don just smiles, takes his headset off.
La, 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 la.
Oh, my virgin ears. My virgin ears.
No, I've already gone through that one time with one podcast. I really don't want to go through it again with another.
Don't tell me, Don, you've actually done that. No, Don. No. Down, Don.
Thank you for joining us for TFYLP this week. We hope you had a great Valentine's Day. We hope you enjoyed the Toy Fair coverage and continue to support TFYLP through our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com. Also, please check out our Patreon page to see how you can continue to support the show so we can keep upgrading the equipment and eventually be able to replace Duron with a hamster.
A living one this time.
Now Duron's sad.
I will have to say, Don, that was well done.
Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time on TFYLP for Headmaster Don, Jim Black. I am Duron. We will see you next time. Good night.
Take everybody.
Care, everybody.
Good night.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.